This is Diola Saint introducing Saint Francis de Sales. Lord Francis de Sales, the father, was a wealthy man. In his 37 years, he had served in the French court and as a cavalry officer. Now in 1560, he wanted to return to his country estates. His home was Sales Castle, built by his ancestors, and one of the finest estates in Savoy, a province in southeastern France. His wife was a good woman, perhaps more fervent in religion than her husband. After dinner each day, she would call the family servants for a religious talk, and then in the evening preside over the common prayers. The land was fertile, the crops were good, and life was pleasant. The Francis of our story was born prematurely by 2 months in 1567. He was the first of 8 children, but was his mother's favorite because she had promised her firstborn to God. They would walk together through the countryside, where they would talk about nature and God's love for his creation. Then young Francis would teach his playmates to repeat word for word what he had learned. Francis was just 6 when he was sent to a school nearby. He did well in school and impressed his teachers and classmates by the simple yet correct way he did each assignment. His father did not take him seriously when he asked permission to become a priest at the age of 11 and went ahead with plans to give him the best education so that he could become a great courtier. The second son was expected to become a religious. Francis studied 6 years in Paris at a Jesuit college and under the watchful eyes of his tutor, excelled in languages, philosophy, and theology, which he liked. Not once was he whipped by his teachers, which was the usual way reluctant students were motivated in those days. But he tolerated the fencing, riding, and dancing classes prescribed by his father in an effort to develop courtly grace. Although Francis maintained a constant outward manner of gentleness, his inward anger could boil up. For a period, he was uneasy, sad, and fearful. Sad because he felt weak against temptation, and fearful because his past wrongs seemed very serious. Finally, while he was praying before the statue of the Blessed Mother, the doubts left him never to return. In later life, he could understand these same feelings better in others who came to him for help. His studies were stopped because of political unrest. He was then sent to the University of Padua, where he studied law for 4 hours each day out of respect for his father's wishes. His favorite subject was theology, which he studied for another 4, and the rest of his time was spent in prayer. His fellow students tested this model student. Once they armed themselves and at night challenged him to fight. Instead of running, he drew his sword and soon had them all begging for mercy. His purity was tested when other students led him to the house of a bad woman and then hid to watch. When he learned of her intentions, he hurriedly left, and then the whole town knew that he was a good man. He was awarded a doctorate in law with the highest praises from his examiners. Meanwhile, Francis's father had made more plans for his son's future. A large collection of legal books was given to him, and Francis received the title of Lord. Then he was appointed as advocate in the Senate, and a fine girl who was rich, beautiful, and good was picked out for him to marry. During all this activity, Francis was in turmoil. His heart was still set on the priesthood, but he was afraid to tell his father. The opportunity arose when the Pope appointed Francis as provost. In this position, he would be head of all of the bishop's advisors, but required that he become a priest. The father could not refuse and finally gave his consent. At that time, there was no seminary to prepare priests, and so Francis studied by himself for another month. As the day approached on which he was to deliver his first sermon before a filled cathedral, he became so nervous that he lay on his bed shaking. Finally, he calmed down and was able to preach to an enthusiastic audience. Francis offered himself as a missionary to the Chablais district near Lake Geneva, which had been hostile to the church for almost 60 years. When the people saw that Francis intended to stay, they passed a law forbidding anyone to attend his church and hear him speak. He was shunned, shot at, and attacked by angry townsfolk. He tried to reach them by writing down his sermons for distribution. These were later collected and published. They were called the Controversies. His pamphlets were read, and finally people started to listen to him. His gentle ways and obvious love for God impressed him. Events turned in his favor when some neighboring ministers challenged Francis to a public debate. When the ministers did not appear, some people turned to Francis's side. Converts increased until he had to write to the bishop asking for more priests to help him. He alone had been the instrument through which God converted an entire district. Meanwhile, the bishop had prepared papers naming Francis as his assistant. Francis felt he was not qualified, but accepted only because he could not disobey his bishop. Once he was called to the French court in Paris on church matters during Lent. Since there was no one to preach in the Queen's Chapel, a relative suggested Francis. His simplicity and manners attracted many nobles of the Sorbonne. The king described this likable priest as a rare bird and offered him the position of Bishop of Paris, which he politely refused. During his 6 months' stay in Paris, he preached more than 100 times. On another occasion, the church in which he was to speak was so filled with people that he had to climb a ladder to get in through a window. Francis's approach was this: one who preaches with love preaches sufficiently against wrongdoers, although he may not say a single word against them. He was appointed Bishop of Geneva, but as always, some did not agree with him. They felt he was too open, too friendly, and too ready to welcome sinners. He replied, "The Lord himself said that the meek and humble will gain heaven. I see nothing wrong in doing what he said." During the course of his preaching, he met a very religious woman, Jane Chantal, who assisted him in founding a new religious order for women called the Visitation Order. During her lifetime, 86 convents were formed. She was later named a saint because of her holy life. Most people recognized Francis as a saint and often asked him for cures. He drove out devils from possessed persons and cured a little girl of shaking by merely touching her. To the people's praises, he replied that God had taken pity on the person. Francis was 56 when he became ill and died in December of 1622. Many miracles have occurred through his intercession. He was declared to be a saint in 1665 and Doctor of the Church in 1877. His most well-known writing is the book Introduction to the Devout Life, which even during Francis's life was reprinted 40 times. He is a patron saint of journalists and the deaf. A group of priests calling themselves the Oblates of St. Francis de Sales was formed in 1871 and is now engaged in teaching and pastoral work. May we all see that it is possible to gain heaven when we, out of love for God, fulfill our daily routines and duties.
Thank you for calling Dial a Saint. Recorded stories about Mary, the saints, and other literature is available, as well as free handouts to share with friends. To receive these, you may leave your name and address, but please spell difficult words, or you may write to Dial a Saint, Post Office Box 228, Vienna, Virginia, 22183. A new saint will be introduced next Sunday. Thank you for calling, and please call again.